What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 6 of Fly Conversations. It's your host, Mel. And last week, I'm going to start off by apologizing. I know you guys were waiting on episode 6 last week, but I've just been so extremely busy with work and building a new program and, you know, et cetera. So, but I did ask you to send in some questions. A couple of you guys sent in some questions that I wanted to answer, and it's like, you know, open forum. So one of the questions I got to my DM on Instagram was, is there a part-time AMP school or airframe and power plant school? The answer, after doing a little bit of research, is no. There's a certain amount of hours that you have to put in, so there's an hour requirement. And so if you're thinking about doing it, or if you thought about it from listening to the podcast, it's kind of like a full-time commitment, so you definitely have to take that into consideration. Second question was, could you take the private pilot license written exam before actual flying? So basically, can I go take the written exam, the government written exam, before I actually fly? And the answer is yes. There's some online courses that you can take, online ground school courses that you can actually take, download. You got to pay a little bit of money, but it's worth it. A lot of people are doing that these days, especially people who do not go to flight schools, accredited flight schools. So if you have a private instructor, you may have to go that route. But you can. It is possible. I did Sporties, sporties.com, sporties.com. And there you can actually download all of your ground schools, private pilot, instrument, so on and so forth. And you can actually go through the online course. You have to watch a certain amount of videos, and you have to take a few practice tests, but they will send you something called an endorsement to take the actual exam. Then you would go down to the testing center, pay for the test, give them the endorsement from the website or from the company, and you can actually go in there and take the exam, and then you can start flying after. Personal experience, and from asking around, that's kind of like the best route, because you knock it out early. What also happens is, you know, if you start flying, you know, it can actually fall by the wayside. And that actually happened to me. I had all of my hours, all of my hour requirements for flying, but the written wasn't done yet. So now I have to go take the written. Then I, you know, trying to stay proficient. So I have to go back to flying, you know. So definitely try to knock out the written exam before you, not finish flying, but yeah. So, and another question, or the last question I got, was, what is the criteria for hiring a Delta mechanic? And my answer is, just from being in the inside or on the inside, it all depends. It all depends on what we're looking for. You know, some airports may be looking for a lot of mechanics at the time, and, you know, they're looking for guys from the outside, and experience levels are different. Of course, experience is always good, but you may get lucky. I know some guys who came in without experience. So it really all depends, and it varies on where we're at the moment with manpower. All right. Well, thanks for sending in your questions, and I hope that I was able to answer them. And if not, send me another DM if you got some more questions or you need some further explaining. All right. So this episode, episode 6, I have a special guest here. His name is Vaughn Rowe. I've known him for a very, very, very long time. Went to high school together. He has his A&P, so he's a mechanic. He's also a pilot. He has 753 flight hours. He's a commercial pilot at the moment. I actually invited him here on this episode to give you his story. So episode 5 was my story on becoming a pilot. I'm brand new to it. I don't have nearly as many hours as he does. I think I'm in the 80s still. But he's got some experience, and you know, he's going up through the ranks. So I'll let you, Mr. Vaughn, tell your story to everyone listening. And yeah, man, go ahead, do your thing.
How's it going, everyone? Like Mel said, my name is Vaughn Rowe. Originally from Crown Heights, Brooklyn, and born and raised there. I was always interested in flying. From the age of 4, I wanted to become a pilot. Never knew anyone who was a pilot. Never saw anyone that looked like me that was a pilot. You know, because there's still less than 1% of the entire pilot population in the United States is black, in the commercial aviation, in the airlines. So time progressed, I was always just fascinated with airlines, always looked outside, and the flight path to JFK and LaGuardia pretty much passed by my house, and I would just look up in the sky and say, oh, it's this type of aircraft, that kind of aircraft, and just listening to the engine sounds. Everybody thought I was weird because nobody around me would do anything like that, but that's what I was fascinated by. When I was looking at high schools, my cousin, who he's like my brother, he's 2 years older than me, and he always wanted to be a pilot as well. He told me about this school, Aviation High School, which is in Long Island City. So in my mind, I said, all right, I'm going to go there rather than going to Bronx Science or Philippa Schuyler or any of these other schools. I'm going to go to this aviation school. I'm going to graduate with my pilot's license and I'll be good to go. Wasn't the case. I quickly found out. My freshman year, I took my first flying lesson through the flying club, which wasn't really a flying club per se. It was a group of people that met up every 3 weeks or so, and you might have gone flying maybe twice a year. So you really weren't earning your pilot's license at that point. But I did see an opportunity to get into aviation through my AMP, which is your airframe and power plant, which I know Mel has spoken about in depth already. So I went through the entire process to receive my AMP. I was able to go to the annex, which at that time it was only the top 24 students who needed to earn their power plant license. And we went to school at JFK Airport. We had internships, each one of us. My internship was with Delta Airlines because I was always fascinated by Delta. And did that really cool experience. Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And when I graduated high school, after my fifth year, I had both my AMP and I went down to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University down in Daytona Beach, which from everyone that I've ever spoken to, that's the top aviation university in the United States. However, it's a little too expensive. I don't come from money at all. Grew up around the corner from Allen's Bakery, where I used to see everything happen. I used to know all the drug dealers that was on the corner and everything. Those were my people. Those were my friends. So me coming from money is not it whatsoever. But as time progressed, I realized that I wasn't able to afford Embry-Riddle. I was lucky enough to come back from Daytona and I received a job with Delta as an aircraft mechanic at 20 years old. I think I was 20 for maybe 2 months when I had started with Delta. And I've moved up through the ranks, being there for 12 years at this point, 12 and a half years. And I'm currently a lead aircraft maintenance technician. I've worked in maintenance control, where we're speaking to pilots as they're flying the plane, if they have issues. Any mechanics that are outside working on an aircraft and they need assistance and they need a deferral or anything, we're the ones who they would contact. Chronic issues, we're the ones troubleshooting it and offering suggestions. We might not be right all the time, but let's be honest, whoever is. But I enjoy being a line maintenance mechanic, hands down. Every day that you come into work, it's always something different. But as time progressed, I realized that I never lost a passion for flying. And I was able to save up enough money, and I was honestly getting discouraged because I was getting older, and I just didn't see a path, or an easy path, I guess, for it to happen, for me to receive my pilot's license. And everything that I was trying, it seemed as if a door was being closed in my face. I was asking family for help. They said no. Either they couldn't afford it or they didn't want to take the risk, because I didn't have a defined plan how I was going to make it to the airlines and be an airline pilot. And my response to them was always, listen, I can't sit back and just wait. I have to start somewhere, so let me get the money. And it was just a flat out no. So I went to this, there's an organization called OBAP, which stands for the Organization of Black Aerospace Professionals. It used to be Organization of Black Airline Pilots, but they've expanded, and now they're trying to be all inclusive with flight dispatchers, aircraft mechanics, anything that you want to do in the aviation industry. They're trying to be all inclusive with that. So I went there in, I think, 2013, and I spoke with a gentleman who is an aircraft mechanic, was working as an A&P mechanic for Delta, and he is now a 757-767 first officer. And he told me his story of not having money, sleeping in his car, getting a divorce, and it's all worth it. All of it was worth it to go through all of that and now be a first officer for Delta Airlines. So that was my encouragement. That was my motivation to get back into it. And I went back to work with a vengeance. This was in August of 2013. And I said, if I turned around and I did my overtime, I put in my hard work, I would be able to start my flying lessons in March. Turns out I started my flying lessons in November. That's how hard I was going. And I received my private pilot's license in June of 2014. It took me longer than I expected for a multitude of reasons. Weather was a factor, maintenance on the aircraft, just a bunch of different things. I went to do my private pilot check ride the first time and I froze up. My brain went completely blank as soon as the examiner asked me the first question, and it was a simple question, and I couldn't remember the response to it. When my instructor and I got back in the aircraft on the way home, I started spitting everything off that I needed to know for the exam, and he just looked at me and said, well, why couldn't you recite that when he was asking you the questions? But I had no response. These things happen. So my point to you is, don't ever get discouraged. If you have a dream, follow it, regardless of what it is, even if it's not in aviation. It might take you longer and it might not be the path that you expected it to be, but if you persevere, you'll get through it one way or the other. So June of 2014, I received my private pilot certificate, and the next step is to get your instrument rating. And in my mind, I said, all right, I'm gonna knock this out in a month. It took me 3 months to get it. Once again, due to weather, plane availability, maintenance, and scheduling a check ride. Knocked that out, and I needed my commercial certificate now, because my ultimate goal is, once again, to become an airline pilot, and these things don't happen overnight. So September, I think I had maybe 100 hours or so. And now all my flights are time building flights. That took, once again, longer than I expected, but I was able to get my commercial certificate in July of 2015 and my multi-engine certificate 2 weeks after that, in August of 2015. And I was fortunate enough to meet up with some guys who work for a charter company that's based out here in Georgia. And now I'm flying a King Air 200 and an Astrojet, when I first started with them, I was flying right seat in the King Air 200. I'm still right seat in both aircraft, but I'm qualified as a captain in the Astrojet on certain flights. When we don't have passengers, paying passengers on there, I can sit left seat on either one, the King Air or the Astrojet.
Now the difference between the King Air and the Astrojet.
So, there's several differences, but the King Air is a turboprop aircraft. So it has propellers on the front of the engines. Even though it's a turbine engine, it has propellers for its first stage fan. The jet, it's just a complete jet. It's a turbine, or it's two turbine engines, and it flies high and fast. So there's certain limitations that any aircraft will have. The King Air is limited to, I think, a max altitude of 29,000 feet, whereas in the jet, we can go up to 45,000 feet. You get better fuel burn, fly a lot faster, and the view is a lot better from up there, in all honesty. So right now, it's been 2.5 years that I've been working at that charter company. I really thought my flight hours would go a lot faster than this, and I would be at an airline by now. But I'm required to have 1,500 hours before I get to an airline, and right now I'm still only at 753 hours. So in order to build my hours faster, I decided that I'm going to get my certified flight instructor certificate, which means that I'll be able to teach pilots, either student pilots or pilots wanting to get their instrument rating, commercial rating, multi-engine rating, once I get those certificates, how to fly. That definitely is taking a lot longer than I expected it to, because I still have a full-time job at Delta as a lead aircraft mechanic, and I'm working at the charter company trying to build hours. In fact, I just got off of a flight after flying all night, so I'm a little tired right now, but it's all going to be worth it in the end. Time is of the essence. All of us are getting older, but time is still on my side, definitely. I know it's on Mel's side. It's on your side as well. You just have to prioritize. Sometimes I look back and I say, there's no way that I can do this. It's not happening, because I still want to go hang out with my friends. I want to go partying. I want to go to carnival. And I'm a carnival fiend. I go to Trinidad Carnival, Barbados Carnival, Grenada Carnival, Miami. I go all over the place. And not to mention, I'm a firm believer in trying to keep my mental sanity. And that requires me to take a vacation every 2 weeks, which it's not really possible to do that. Every 2 weeks. It would be lovely if it were possible. I can't afford that, but it would be nice. So, you know, just keep on doing what you want to do, what you feel that you have to do in order to be successful in life. Make yourself happy before trying to make someone else happy. And that's just my recommendation to you. This is my brief story, or as brief as I could have made it, but definitely keep on with the fight. I'm keeping on with it. I should be done next year around this time at an airline.
So. All right, well, I hope that, you know, Vaughn's story helped you guys out. Is there a way that they can contact you? Social media?
Yeah.
Email or something like that?
So on Instagram, my tag name is Future DLCPTN, which stands for Future Delta Captain. Follow me on there. You can check out my posts. My page isn't private or anything. You can hit me up on DM. I'll respond to you eventually. Please understand that my schedule is pretty busy, so if I don't get back to you within a day or two, don't be offended. I will eventually get back to you. And yeah, other than that, I'm around. Like I said, I'm always traveling, so we might see each other on a flight somewhere.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for taking the time out and being a part of this podcast, and you understand the message, and you understand the goal of the podcast to get the aviation community, get that word out there to the urban community. So I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right, everyone, until next time, I'm going to have a special surprise for you guys next week. Try to switch things up a little bit. But stay safe and talk to you guys next week, man. Later.